Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We're on number 217 today, and this is session 4 with Melissa, the first part. And the theme of today's talk and call, this is the first part of session 4, is that there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Repeat after me. There's nothing wrong with me. There is nothing wrong with me. I tell you every week, and I'm going to tell you again, I think you are amazing and wonderful. And I am so proud of you. And I'm so proud of Melissa for opening up and sharing her vulnerabilities. We talk this week a little bit about her need to complicate things. She has a brain that wants systems, and if things come across to her too easy, she tries to overcomplicate them, because growing up, it was a struggle. Trying to do everyday things, tying shoes, skipping was a struggle. So if things come to her too easily, she tries to overcomplicate them. And maybe that's not you, but maybe there's glimmers that you identify with, or people in your life kind of come to your forefront while you're listening to her share her story. Pay attention to that and shine a little bit of light into the shadows of your mind and the shadows of your relationships. Okay, no further avail. Here's Melissa. Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
So I can see behind you, you are in a new room that I haven't seen yet. And from what I can see, it's a good looking room.
This is the master bedroom, and we got it all set up, and it looks the way I thought it would look when we toured the house. So I'm very happy with it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. So it's been how many weeks now in this new house?
We're coming up on 4.
Okay. Does it feel like yours? Do you still feel like you're on vacation? What's it feel like?
It very much feels like mine. And I apologize. I've got to get Alexa to be quiet.
Oh, is that Alexa? Hi, Alexa.
Yes. Cancel.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Okay.
You don't have to apologize. It's all good. Okay. So it feels like your house. It smells like your house. You know where things are.
Yes.
Okay. Very cool. All right. So we're in session 4. We're 2/3 of the way through working together. How are you feeling? What's going on?
I can't believe we're at session 4 is kind of how I'm feeling. And I sat down to do the homework over the week, and it was easy. And I felt like I needed to give myself other things to do because it was easy. And then I reminded myself that it's okay. Sometimes things can be easy.
Okay. Yeah. So is that kind of a pattern that you've had, that if things come across too easy or you feel like you're not working hard enough, you get worried or anxious about it?
Yes, that is a big pattern with me. I was actually joking with someone about it recently. I said, you know, I like rules and I like procedure. And if there aren't rules and procedure, I will invent them so that I can make things as complicated as my brain thinks they need to be.
Okay. Is it because of like a superstition, like this is too good to be true, or you're like waiting for the other shoe to drop? Like, what do
There's
you think?
definitely waiting for the other shoe to drop. And also, and we've talked about this, I've always struggled with hand-eye coordination, fine motor skills. And as a kid, everything I had to do felt hard, if that makes sense. It took me twice as long to learn to ride a bike, twice as long to skip in preschool. I remember that being a thing. And so I think my brain has it decided that if I'm going to do something, it's got to be a complicated process to figure it out, or I'm not doing it right. And that's part of my slow living journey, is to learn that not everything has to be hard with lots of steps and a process that's easy for me to mess up.
Yeah. It's interesting. This came up recently in a coaching call with another client, and I was joking that at one point I had done some work, and I think it was with Staples, and they sent me one of those red "that was easy" buttons. Do you remember those commercials? That was easy.
Yes.
That was easy. I've looked for it. I have no idea where it is. I think one of the kids took it. But what if that became your new normal, that you've now, I mean, you've lived a longer life. It makes sense that things get better and easier with time, and you've perfected systems.
I think it's funny you mentioned that that was easy button, because what you don't see sitting right behind my desk or my laptop is the no button, also from Staples.
Oh, okay. Wait, I guess I don't know what the no, but it just says no.
Correct.
I'm gonna have to Google that. Is it the same voice?
Yes, it's the same voice, and it just says no. When I had my old job and I was a museum director, it was a gift from one of our volunteers who I guess thought I needed it.
Okay.
But going back to things being easier, that again, that's part of my journey of kind of unlearning things that I thought were very important that I'm realizing now are not important, is not everything has to be difficult. And there are so many things that just will be difficult that life will give us. I should probably stop creating systems that make other things difficult. And I'm working on it.
Yeah. So if you let things be easy, is there guilt with that?
Probably. I'm thinking about that, because that's another thing that I'm working on, is not feeling guilty about absolutely everything. I mean, it's important. I guess what I've come to understand as I've gotten older is that feeling guilty is not the same as acknowledging privilege.
Yeah, there's a lot with that.
And I grew up, both sides of the family historically had had to struggle, but were doing okay. And they just wanted to make sure when I was a kid that I understood that, we were lucky. It wasn't always like this. It used to be a lot harder. And I think that was well-intentioned on both sides of the family. And I don't think they meant for the message to land as hard with me as it did. So that's a work in progress. And knowing that these wonderful women that have gone before me wouldn't want me to feel guilty about absolutely everything. They would just want me to acknowledge that I have a little easier than other people do.
I'm glad you brought that up, and especially when things are going well and you're aware and you're smart and you're educated the way you are, and not living in a cave, so you know examples in real life and on the news and in different parts of the world and different cultures, that there's so much struggle and strife. And when things are easy and you're thoughtful, instead of sometimes being proud of the road you've taken to get to this point of relative ease, it feels heavy and like there should be suffering.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Melissa. I get that. I can't remember the number, but I remember that I recorded something about suffering, and I think I called it "Should There Be Suffering?" And the bottom line is probably, if I asked you, do you think you have to suffer in order to succeed? How would you answer that?
I mean, historically, what I've learned growing up would be yes. That said, that's just part of the process. And what I'm trying to stop doing is going out of my way to suffer and reminding myself I haven't always had an easy time of it. It's okay if I have a new house that I really like, and it's okay if I have a job that's a lot more in alignment with what my personal priorities are and you know, a much shorter commute than my other job was. It's okay to have those things. And it's okay to seek out those things, because I definitely did that in both cases.
Yeah. It's okay to have nice things.
And I say this thinking of the family members that very much wanted me to know that they had worked hard for what they had. They had very nice things.
Yeah. So since you're writing your history right now, do you think it just feels a little heavier right now in this season of life that you're in because you're spending so much time writing the stories?
Yes. It's also enlightening to go back to some of it as an adult, to write about my great, great aunt, who has had a huge influence on me, but to go back and write about her, seeing her through an adult lens, and the same for my grandmother, to see them as a grown-up would see them instead of as a four-year-old would see them, which are kind of my first really distinct memories of both of them, was when I was about four or five.
Okay. And are you finding that you have more empathy?
More empathy, and also in a good way, a little less hero worship.
Ah, okay. So what does that mean?
I mean, my great-great aunt was the middle of five children. They lost their dad at a very early age. They had to move from a very small town in Oklahoma to Oklahoma City to try to make a living to keep the five children together. She started as a telephone operator. The family owned a small luncheonette type restaurant, but she didn't like cooking and she didn't like dishes. And so her mother said, well, that's fine, but you have to help support the family. So a little bit down the street downtown, she started working as a telephone operator. She retired when I was about five as one of the branch managers. And if you're familiar with the TV show Mad Men and its later seasons, that's what I remember her looking like when she came home from work. Just perfectly polished, the outfits, very, very accomplished. She did learn to cook in the end because she needed to take care of us. There was just nothing that she couldn't do. And so it's very easy to put her on a pedestal, and a little deserving, but also she was a person who, took care of her mother. They had a mother-in-law suite for my great, great grandmother before a mother-in-law suite was a thing.
Yeah.
Her husband was, came home from World War II in a wheelchair, and she was a devoted spouse to him throughout the rest of his life. He passed when I was in high school, which was a lot longer than they had given him. But they would have liked to have traveled. They loved dancing. That's what they did before he He went to the Pacific Theater and their life changed. They would have loved to have had a big family, and that just wasn't in the cards for them. And I understand now that she had disappointments and she wasn't perfect. And it's okay if I fall a little short of what I think she did with her life. And also, she loved me unconditionally, and it would help if I thought about that a little bit more often.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have these stories and you've built them as characters versus humans that are flawed, because they're real and they're not written, yet you're also in the process of writing them. It's got to be really interesting to map it out and for your brain to make these different connections and that kind of stuff. And one thing that's interesting, back to the whether or not there should be suffering in order to succeed and being okay with things being easy. The idea of like main character and that you're the main character in your life. Some people really gravitate towards that and like that, like main character energy and that kind of thing. And maybe it can be helpful. If someone's a bit of a wallflower and really shy to step into that main character role, but it can be layered with guilt and feeling off if you are believing that everything and everyone around is just there to serve your needs. And I just wanted to shine a little bit of light on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been interesting to look at their lives as a grown-up myself. And I got a little bit more of that with my grandmother, because it's only been in the last 10 years that she's passed away. And as I got older and I had kids, she got really real with me about some of her life experiences. But also, one of my daughters is very similar in personality to this aunt of mine. And so I understand her a little bit better, having raised my daughter. That's where she was coming from. I get it, because that's where this person in my life was coming from. It makes more sense now.
Yeah. So as you're writing the book, how are you keeping all of the characters, all of the people, kind of in order or categorized? Like are you like, is there a note card or a file per person, or how are you mapping this out?
I mean, not at the moment, although that is a good idea. It's funny, because there are many times I could not tell you where my own keys are, but these characters in the book, these people in my life, I mean, they are so imprinted in my heart. I know these people, I can keep them straight. And I acknowledge translating that for other people to read is going to be a little bit complicated, and I haven't really parse that out. Although what I'm trying to do, because, and I'll pull this out, and Alex is talking again.
it is real life.
Sir, when you are ready, just say Alexa, open mindfulness menu.
All right.
It's, you're good, Melissa. It's all
no,
good.
It's funny, because I do a mindfulness minute now with Alexa, and that definitely comes from the Slow Living podcast. So if Alexa's interrupting us, just so you know,
that's really cute.
Or the source. I have it in three parts.
Okay.
The first part, I talk a lot about the childhood and the influences.
Okay.
And then,
okay. So what you're looking at right now is this is how in the homework, it was mapping out the structure of the book.
Yes.
Okay.
So first part is childhood, and that's where those characters are. Second part is young adulthood, and that's where Dave is and the friends I made at that point. That's where they are. And then the third part is my family. which will tie back into the first part in ways that I was influenced raising my children by the people who raised me.
Okay. So it was childhood. And then I heard the third part was my family. What was the second part?
So childhood and then young adulthood and raising the family. And okay. That sound really a lot more boring than I hope it is. Well, I read that out loud. I'm like, well, yeah, that is the natural progression of anyone's life.
Yeah, no, but like the finesse part can come later. Right now we're shoveling sand into the sandbox. And then as far as breaking up each section with chapter titles, how did that come up?
Well, what was great, because I've mentioned this before, I'm good with big ideas. I'm not always great at drilling them down. They weren't great suggestions. So ChatGPT, of course, had suggestions. And actually, that was helpful because then I'm like, well, definitely not that, but it should be this. Definitely not that, but it should be this. So sometimes really bad suggestions are good because I can bridge from that and turn it into what I want it to look like.
Yeah, editing is sometimes a lot easier. Okay.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. You had written that you want more homework about the book. And so I see in my notes that you want everything done by kind of first quarter of next calendar year, March-ish. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. And last time we talked, you said that you were writing after the kitchen was closed from 8 to 10 each night. Is that still sound good, right?
If we ever get fully moved into this house, I think we will get back to that more regularly. This past week, it's just been miserably hot. And so moving things from the old house to the new house, and we're cleaning out the new house to get ready, or the old house to get ready to list it, was easier done towards 8 and 9 at night, just from the heat. So I did a lot more moving of the house and a lot less writing this week, but we're not going to be moving forever.
Yeah. And also you played in the pool.
We did. That was wonderful. I did not think I cared. I enjoyed swimming as a kid, but I did not think I cared about the community clubhouse and neighborhood pool when we bought this house. It was just a nice feature. But it turns out we're really enjoying that community pool a lot more than I thought we would.
I'm glad. And you can walk there?
Mm-hmm. Our house is really close to it. Again, not even something I was looking for. And it turns out to be something. We've always done Sunday dinners as a family, but we have decided from now through Labor Day, when they close the pool, it is Sunday swim day.
I love that. You made a really good decision with this house.
And this is where I, you know, go into my, oh, it's been known to happen, but I did. And it's funny because it took us a long time. We live in a college town. Mm-hmm. And the size house we wanted to downsize into is, unfortunately for us, about the same size as the homes that parents like to buy their kids when they come here to go to college and then use as rental homes to other college students when their kids graduate. That's not a good or bad thing. It's just the way things have always worked in Norman. And anyway, it was a process. We had to wait till all the potential OU students, or I guess they're sophomores at this point because freshmen live in the dorms, but we had to wait till all the sophomores and their moms and dads had picked homes. And I am so glad we did, because this one wound up being perfect.
I'm glad. Yeah. Yeah. Are you comfortable giving yourself credit for making this good decision that's even better than you can imagine?
As you can see, because you're watching me, not at all.
Yeah, your face is uncomfortable, like you did something wrong, even though you didn't.
Again, that goes back to the permission to make grown-up decisions, even though I'm 53 and I don't need permission to make grown-up decisions. And Well, we didn't always have it this easy. Don't forget that as you're growing up, which came from the kitchen of a woman who hired an interior decorator every 10 or so years to update and freshen her home, a home that she custom built with her husband to make it ADA compliant before ADA compliant was a thing. It was really cool as a kid because the light switches were down where you could reach them. They were for my uncle, the counter.
Okay, so this was an aunt of yours. You were living in one of their houses. Is that what you mean?
I grew up in their homes. I was there every weekend. And, you know, she would always tell me, we didn't always have it easy. But as a grown up, I'm like, well, no, we didn't. But you had an interior designer that updated your house every 10 years or so. I remember that because I'd get sad when the wallpaper I loved would go away for new and more current. In a house that she custom designed with her husband and had decorated, she worked very hard, but she definitely enjoyed the benefits of her job. There was a very fancy store. I think it still is open in Oklahoma City called Balliet's, and they were always delivering nice outfits that she would pick out on her lunch hour. So I shouldn't, is my point, feel bad about making good decisions and being comfortable and having things that I like, because although she wanted me to remember that life wasn't easy for everyone, she definitely had a comfortable lifestyle and things that she liked. And, you know, her home looked the way she wanted it to, and her outfits looked the way she wanted them to. And she wouldn't want me to apologize for those things. That was never what I did.
Yeah. So it's interesting, the strong women in your family, and I know the book is very matriarchal, women forward and centric, and how these stories unfold. When you think of your own daughters, how do you want them to describe you?
I hope that they see that I was strong too. I worry about that, but I hope that I was strong. I feel like I was, as I look at this narrative of decisions I made, and directions I took my life that were solely devoted to making sure theirs was good. I hope they see that.
Is a strong woman and how you want them to remember you, does that mean sacrificing? Do you feel like you sacrificed for them?
I mean, I definitely sacrificed for them. I don't know that that means that. I do think that is a thing that just happens by default of being a mom. I do think a little differently than the women in my family that came before me, I don't want to be as inflexible as they felt growing up.
Yeah. Choices.
Yeah. I had this conversation with my 15-year-old under not the best of circumstances. She was not happy with me and I was not happy with her, but I told her, and it kind of encapsulates how I feel about this. I said, you know, your whole life, I've gone out of your way to make sure you were able to feel every big feeling that you had, because when I was growing up, I didn't feel free to feel my big feelings. And then I said, that said, the way you're talking to me right now is not okay. And if somehow letting you feel your big feelings has led you to believe that you can treat me disrespectfully, then we need to circle back and figure out what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to have that same esteem that I hold the women that came before me in. I would love for my children to hold me in that same but I want to be able to do that. And at the same time, make sure they know that what they think and how they feel and all of the things I felt a little minimized growing up for me, I want to make sure that they know that those things matter to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Feel the feels, and you can express them, but it doesn't mean you can be rude.
Yes, exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah. Teenagers are Are their own element. They're interesting. My daughter's the exact same age. Yeah. What I appreciate now is she'll say things like just yesterday, she called and said cross country was over, and I said, I'll pick you up. And she said, no, I'm in a really bad mood, so I'm gonna walk home. I'm like, great. Great, sort that out. Please sort that out. Yeah. But I am appreciative that
Well, and I know we're a little bit better as far as the adult kids go, because after we had this particular conversation, which was not nearly as calm as I just made it sound, sometimes she will text older siblings to kind of, tattle on me. And older siblings were all like, I can't believe you talked to mom like that. That is not okay. And that felt pretty good.
good. Yeah, that's nice to have an ally in that way. And also, you can have them help. So if the younger one wants something or to do something that the other it like wouldn't have ever come up, you can be like, I don't know, have you asked your sisters about that? And
The shop, the
they can
shop,
help parent, yeah.
the shopping's been very helpful, because the older I get, the less I know what I should be helping purchase for back to school. Not that I'm sure I was ever the expert on that. So yeah, that's been helpful.
Good. Okay, Slow Down Society, we're going to end this episode right here. Thank you again so much to Melissa for sharing. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, questions for me or Melissa, email me. I'm a real person. I will get back to you, and I'm happy to forward things along to Melissa. You can email me at any time, steph@stephanieoday.com. I want to drop a few different shows that popped in my brain as I was re-listening to Melissa's story. And one thing that I find fascinating is we recorded this series during the summertime months. This was recorded in July. And so I was off work for the summer. And as many of you know, I work full-time as a school site secretary during the school year. And it cracks me up that Melissa and I had this huge discussion about Staples and the easy button, and I had lost my easy button, even though I had done work with them and they had sent me at some point. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I feel like I manifested a new easy button because I show back up to work in mid-August and realized that the school district moved from having Office Depot be our office supplier to Staples. And I have this new sales rep, and everything's going well. And then the sales rep, Alex, says, is there anything I can do to make your Staples experience even better? And I said, yes, I would like an easy button. So now on my desk at work, I have the red Staples easy button. And so who would have thought that I hadn't thought about it for years? But Melissa and I talked about it. And then just a few short weeks later, I get one. So anyway, kind of neat. And because of that, I'm going to leave you a few podcast episodes. Number 11. How Woo Are You? Where I sort of talk about intersecting belief and faith and how woo you are. Episode 42, Listening to the Universe. Episode 104, Creating Your 3-Year Plan. You heard me talk to Melissa about her 3-year plan and how she and her husband have come up with it with sort of their own, which is a great idea. Episode 106, Manifestation versus Magical Thinking. And then 153, Adult Children and Estrangement. And you hear Melissa share a little bit about her relationships with her oldest and how that has affected the household. Okay, pretty people, as always, I think you're amazing and lovely and wonderful and kind. And I'll be back in your earbuds next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.